Wow, we don't get John up front two times in one service very often. Yeah. I have the privilege of just introducing Teen Challenge and the gals. I've got to know some of them at Awana. We always appreciate the van that shows up and that disgorges some wonderful ladies who are eager to work with our kids. And so they're here to share with us this morning. And so I'm just going to turn it over to you guys.
Hi, everybody. I'm Holly, and I'm a staff member at Teen Challenge. Thank you for having us back again. We were here a few months ago, maybe 6 months or so ago. A whole year ago. Okay. Well, thank you for having us back again. I'd like to start out this morning by talking to you about some of the things that are happening in the United States and in just Montana and even Missoula in general about drug addiction. I have a really sore throat today, so bear with me. In the United States, there are currently 23 million addicts. Addiction has become an American tragedy. The leading cause of accidental death in the United States is from opiate overdoses. Overdose deaths have risen 244% over the last 6 years in the United States. Most heroin users try the drug before the age of 25 years old, and today 580 people will try it for the first time. Overdose deaths have tripled in women ages 54 through 64 years old, and 40% of overdose deaths are of women from prescription pain medication. Forbes magazine has slated Missoula, Montana as the drug capital of the nation. Montana has been slated as number 2 for illicit drugs, number 4 for alcohol consumption, and Missoula, Montana has been slated as number 1 for both. $51 billion are spent a year as we wage the war on drugs. The Center for Disease Control says mothers, wives, sisters, and daughters are dying at rates we've never seen before. And that's also fathers and sons. I'm just saying that because we're a women's center here, but it's you know, there's nobody goes untouched by it. It's in every family. And so that's kind of what Teen Challenge is. If some of you don't know, it's a comprehensive faith-based residential recovery program. That's a mouthful. Our ladies come in, and it's from 12 to 18 months program, so it's a big commitment. What the program is, it's a chance for the women to live their life with Christ at the first. We believe at Teen Challenge that addiction is such a big thing and that you cannot do it on your own. Many of these women have gone to several drug rehab programs. They've tried on their own, and you just can't do it. You just can't do it. So Teen Challenge, as to date, it has the highest for a long period of time recovery rate in the world. They work hard, and but the whole gist of it is that we are teaching them about Jesus. They are learning to use their Bibles, and they are learning all of their contracts that they do is all curtailed to what they particularly are struggling with in their lives. And our hope for them is that they can come out of this completely transformed, and it's so fun to get to watch. From when they first come in the door to like when they leave, they're just like such different people. I mean, not only just their heart has changed, but physically they just change. Like their face just brightens up, and you know when Jesus is in you, you can't help but smile. So we're going to start today by having Beth come up, and she's going to tell you a little bit about her testimony.
Thank you, Holly. Good morning. I just want to start by thanking our Lord Jesus, Lolo Community Church, and Adult and Teen Challenge for this opportunity. I'm Beth, and I'm from Oregon, and I've been a student at Missoula Women's Outreach Center for 11 months now. I'll be completing my program April 4th. Yay! um, Before coming to Missoula, my life was completely out of control. I was struggling through each day, crippled by an overwhelming fear and a 30-year addiction to illegal drugs. Carrying the emotional baggage from a failed marriage, destroyed family relationships, and what seemed to be an endless list of poor choices, I felt helpless, lost, and totally alone. Excuse me. I didn't recognize God at work in my life. I believed I was a complete failure, and as hard as I tried, I just couldn't change on my own. I got a call one day from a man I didn't know, and he said he was from Mahama Community Church and that he had some Christmas gifts for my granddaughter. And after several phone conversations and invitations to visit this little church, something just pushed me to see what they were about. And it's been my home ever since. Still unaware how God was taking care of me, I continued to attend Sunday services, all the while slipping further into this evil nothingness that was consuming me. I really wanted help, and I needed help. And my heart said to trust and be honest, but my head said, no way, they'll reject you. My heart said to believe that they will help you, and my head said to run. This loop played continuously in my mind, and I think this is where my story starts. I reached out to my church, and I revealed my secrets, and through these wonderful people have experienced God's grace and mercy firsthand. My pastor and his wife brought me to Missoula, and the day I walked through the doors at our center, my life began to change. Today, I believe that God loves me, and I am who he says I am. My days are marked by the Holy Spirit, and I continuously feel his presence. I know my prayers are powerful and effective, and I'm becoming more like Christ each day. I'm so grateful to all the staff, the volunteers, and the sponsors who have poured their hearts into my recovery. And I'd like to close with a word from 2 Timothy 1:9. It says, "The Lord has saved me and called me to a holy life, not according to my works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted me in Christ Jesus our Lord." Thank you.
I'm going to have Amy come up and tell you all kind of what a day looks like at Teen Challenge. We call it a day in the life, and it's a busy one. So come on, Amy.
Well, let's see here. Our day begins, we get up at 6:30 in the morning, and we have devos till about 7. Then from 7 to 8, we get ready for breakfast, and at 8, we have breakfast. Then at 8:30, we have worship till 9. And then we pray, and then the girls that go to the thrift store take off, and the rest of us get started on either work experience or do other things, chores, and then we do work experience. Then Thursdays and Tuesdays, we do group studies for new Christians. And then Tuesday evenings and Friday evenings is when we have our classwork time. Other than that, the rest of the days, Monday through Saturday, we have work experience, and we go around and do things and help and stuff. Sundays mornings is some of the girls' favorite mornings because it's the only morning we get to sleep in, maybe. We're lucky. It depends how early we go to church. Then we spend the rest of the evening just relaxing and being us and having visits. And I think that's about it.
Thanks, Amy. They really do have a busy day. Their day is from the minute they get up until they go to bed at night. So they're very busy. And they do work at the thrift store. Some of them go to the store and work, and they kind of have crews that they go back and forth. And when they're not working there, they're always doing something. They're in the classroom or you know, and just doing or ministry work or whatever it is that we have for them to do. So they definitely, their life is God's, definitely not their own anymore. And it's just really making a difference in their lives. I'm going to have Letha come up, and she's going to share a little bit right now about her testimony.
Hello. Good morning, everybody. Okay, so I am 32 years old. I was born and raised on an Indian reservation by a single parent. I have two older siblings, and I'm also a single parent of four kids. I was raised very traditionally and culturally. I kind of didn't really get the aspect of a Christian life. I had my cultural traditions. So throughout my life, my mother was addicted to alcohol and drugs. So it was kind of like a pattern there. My high school years, I started getting into drugs and alcohol. I had some horrible incidents that happened to me that turned to drugs and alcohol. And then I graduated high school, and I went off to get married, thinking that that was the way I could find somebody to love me, to be with me, and just to take care of me. I had a marriage for 5 years, which was very abusive sexually and emotionally, just wrong. And I thought that's what love was. I do have three beautiful kids out of that marriage. I got a divorce. And then I started using. I started using meth really bad to ease my pain, to push away the hurt and the rejection that I felt, the abandonment. And then my sister passed away, so it made everything a lot harder for me to cope with. I didn't know who Jesus was. I was far from him. And then he saved my life. He got me to a jail cell. I couldn't practice my traditional ways, my traditional values. And then I start reading the Bible. And I start seeing what he's gone through. He was just, you know, like me. And the stories and just the awesomeness of that. I wanted to be like him. I wanted to know him. I wanted his love. So I got home. My ex-husband got sentenced to prison, and my kids were asking me why. I didn't know the answers, so I took them to church. I took them to church every day, every Sunday. I took them to little study groups, group studies on Wednesday evenings, and I did start using again. But no matter how far I was away from Jesus, he had a plan for me. Every Sunday, Saturday night, I would make my way home to get my kids prepared for church. Rain, shine, snow, I would walk to church with my kids. And I pushed them and pushed them to know God and to understand his love. At the same time, I was trying to run away because I didn't want it yet. And then God, he brought me here. My pastor, she gave me an ultimatum. It was either here or I would probably have to go to jail for a couple of years here. So I chose this program. And since I've been in this program, and the years that I was using but taking my kids to church, the faith within my kids and with, like, what their faith brings me, like, to my knees, because they know if they pray to God and that they rely, and they know if three or more are in the same room, he could hear their prayers. And I am so grateful for this program, because my walk with God has gotten a lot stronger. And I know I'm not abandoned. And I know that I am his daughter. And that is just awesome. Being in the program, I have learned a lot of ways to be obedient, to be truthful, and to listen, and just to be patient and humble and kind to my fellow sisters. And it's kind of hard because we're all, you know, living in one roof. But we're learning to turn to prayer. We're learning to pray with each other instead of that drugs and that alcohol. And by the grace of God, we are loving each other through this program and the hardness that we face. And I just want to end with this scripture, Ephesians 13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you are sealed with his Holy Spirit and his promise. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Letha. Some of you may not know, but Carol in your congregation works with Teen Challenge. She is our education director, and she does an amazing job, and we couldn't do without her. And she's going to come up here and share with you a little bit about exactly what she does and kind of give you an idea of what we're trying to teach the girls.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm Carol. And what's that? Oh, you know, I was trying to get the girls to do this by sign language, and I have a hard time doing it, for sure. Well, I am the education coordinator at the center, and I would just like to tell you a little bit about what their education involves. So they, when they come in, and it is from 12 months to 18 months that they are there, but when they come in, they start with contracts. They have a series of 8 contracts all while they're there, and each one of these contracts consists of a goal. So the first thing I want them to do is to come up with a goal that pertains to this particular contract. And each contract has a kind of a subtitle. So their first one that they do is on salvation. So we want to encourage them in salvation if they're not already a believer. That's what we sort of strive for. And so the rest of the contract sort of centers around that salvation message. So I want them to have a goal. And then they have probably 5 to 7 scripture memories that they have to do. So they memorize a scripture, but they also have to write it out. They have to have a goal for the scripture. And then they have to recite the scripture to me. Without helps, they're asking me now if they could have 2 helps like they do in Awana. No. So they recite the scripture to me, give me their paper, and then I give them a final on that scripture. So for every scripture that they have to memorize for that contract, they go through this process of paperwork. So I was going to go in my office this morning and get one of their notebooks. By the time they complete, I forgot. But by the time they complete, they have a notebook that is like 4 inches thick, full of the work that they have done. They work very, very hard to complete these contracts. Besides the scripture memories, and sometimes it's more than one verse. So they also have character qualities. So there's a series of 49 character qualities, all godly qualities, that they work on. They have to do paperwork, responding. Most of the paperwork is application. So how do I apply this concept to my life? How do I grow in Christ? That's what we're wanting them to do, is to grow in Christ through this process. So they do 5 or 6 character qualities for every contract. And then they have assigned textbooks. Are not really, they're not textbooks. These are books that deal with the issues that they are working on. So there are a lot of, they're all scripturally based, these books, but they are kind of self-help books in a way, but it's more of getting to the issues, getting to what their problems are, what they're dealing with. So their books, aside from the first 2 contracts, their books are really specific to what they actually are going through. So they have several books that they read for each contract. They have to write up a report for each contract. And then they, I feel like I'm missing something here on the contracts. What is it, girls? Bible readings. Thank you, Lana. They have several books of the Bible that they read in every contract as well. So by the time they are at the center for 1 year, they have gone through the whole Bible. When they do each book in the Bible, they also then have to write a report on the book of the Bible that they've read for everyone. And that also is applicable. So it helps them sort of apply, what's this Bible book telling me? How does this apply to my life? And then they write up a summary of each contract lasts about 5 weeks. They write up a summary, give me a summary, and then I give them a new contract. So they go through 8 of those while they are there. If they are, heaven forbid, if they are on discipline for some reason or another, then they may get additional contracts for the discipline. They might get dead time, so they work on their discipline contracts. So their lives at the center are very, very structured. They know exactly what they're going to be doing every day of the week, all day long, from the time they get up until they go to bed at 9:30. Lights out at 10, I believe. Is it 10? I'm not there very much at 10 o'clock at night. So I track all of their work right now. We've got 16 women in the center. That's as many as we can take. We have Lana, who's completing on Tuesday. Woohoo! And we have another student coming into the center Tuesday afternoon. So there's a waiting list. As Holly said, there's such a demand. And the center, Christ-centered is so, it works. That's where the success is. And it is so exciting to see the transformation that these women go through over the course of the year. They don't actually graduate when they complete. They complete and they move out. And during that last month that they're in there, they work on transitioning out into society again, the real world, the world of work. Not that they don't work while they're there. But then they have to stay in touch with us at the center. So they stay in communication, especially with the program coordinator, and she stays in constant contact with them, but it's up to the student or the former student to stay in touch with the center. And then it might be a year down the road that they actually graduate from the program. So we don't just turn them loose and say, you're on your own. We try to give them that support that they need and encouragement as they go on. Okay, so I think that... Oh, we have a sponsorship video. But one more thing before I let her play the sponsorship video. I just wanted to mention... I actually copied off a couple of these before I came. These are volunteer applications. We rely heavily on volunteers. All of our ladies have doctor's appointments, dentist appointments, probation officer appointments, you name it. And so it's really hard for the staff to get away and take them on all of these appointments. So we're always looking for volunteers. I have a couple of applications. So if you might be interested in being a volunteer, grab me afterwards and I'll get you one, or let me know, and I mean I can copy more off and bring them to church in the future. So okay, so we have a sponsorship video. Thank you.
Scott with Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge is a one-year residential discipleship program that provides faith-based recovery services to people with life-controlling problems and addictions.
Teen Challenge is a ministry that God chose to save my life. Not only my life, but my family's life. Because of Teen Challenge, my wife has her husband back, my children have their father back, and I have a relationship with Jesus Christ today.
Graduating from Teen Challenge is not an easy accomplishment. This is a life-changing discipleship program. Our students are faced with spiritual battles on a daily basis, and every encouragement makes a difference. We want to invite you to be a part of their success. We want to invite you to become a student sponsor. When you sponsor a student in Teen Challenge, you're partnering with an individual who is becoming a new creation. When you sign up, we will assign you to one of our students and send you a photo and profile of the student that you will be sponsoring. Every 2 months, you will receive an update about your student's progress, so you can continue to pray for them and see that beyond your financial support, you'll be helping to change their life. You'll have opportunities to meet and encourage your student at Teen Challenge events. And when your student completes the program, you will receive a personal invitation to attend and celebrate at their completion ceremony. Most of all, we urge you to write and encourage your student. Your letters will remind them that someone cares and that their community supports them. Your prayers will help move the mountains in their path and help them stay focused on their journey towards freedom. Many students say that the letters and notes they receive gave them hope and encouragement at just the right time.
It seems like you open a letter from one of your sponsors on those days where you're having the most doubts and thinking that you can't make it through. But opening a letter brings you so much confidence and encouragement because someone else believes that you can do it and they're praying for you, and it strengthens your faith just because you know that they believe in what you're doing.
The cost to clothe, feed, and house a student in our program is about $2,500 each month. Most students can never afford to pay that out of pocket, and our policy is not to turn anyone away because of their inability to pay. Our ministry is supported through gifts from friends and family, work experience programs, and the generous support of sponsors like you. For $35 per month, you can sponsor a student, and 100% of your gift will go directly to the care of your student. For a commitment of just $35 a month, you can help change the life and future of a Teen Challenge student. To become a student sponsor, simply fill out a sign-up form or call our office to start supporting a student at your local Teen Challenge Center today. I'm not only a Teen Challenge staff member, but I'm also a 2006 graduate of the Arizona Teen Challenge. I came in with a meth and crack cocaine addiction, having lost everything, including an 18-year marriage. Although it was a struggle, one thing that kept me going was people encouraging me and knowing that people were praying for me. People I didn't even know were sending me letters and notes of encouragement to press on, and so I did. I stand here today as a testimony of what God can do through His people. Thank you for sponsoring a Teen Challenge student and changing their life. Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." To learn more, visit our website or give us a call.
We really do depend on sponsorship to help the ladies to get through the program. Most women, when they come to the program, do not have the funding to come through, but we do not turn anyone away for not being able to pay. When they work at the thrift store, which I was going to have one of the girls say, but I'll just say, we have moved our thrift store, and we would invite you to come and see our store. It's on Mullen Road now, down, I guess, what's it close to? 2036 Mullen Road. Yes, across from the Garden City Funeral Home. We invite you to come in and see our new store. It's a lot bigger. It's just so much nicer just to walk around and just to be able to shop. The women that work there, that pays half of their tuition. So they are working towards something. It's a goal. They're helping to pay for the education that they're getting at Teen Challenge, but it's also teaching them. Some women have not even ever held a job. So there's purpose in everything we do at Teen Challenge. And I just wanted to tell you that after service, we will be back out in the gym. Is it the gym? yes. And we'll be back there if anybody would like to sponsor one of the ladies. How many ladies here are needing sponsors today? Would you guys raise your hands? So we have quite a few that are going to be needing sponsors. And we'd be glad to talk to you about that. You can meet the girls in the back if you'd like to talk to anybody or choose a girl to sponsor. It's $35 a month or $450 a year. We have packets back there that we can give you telling about the lady that you're going to be sponsoring. And it's just, I'm going to let Tiffany come up and tell you a little bit about sponsoring and what it means to one of the girls.
Hi, good morning, you guys. Thank you so much for having all of us. It's a really great honor to be here. You know, having sponsorship is such a great blessing to each and every one of us. You know, like the video said, we are unable to provide, you know, to the finances to be there. But through the grace of God, that He is able to provide for each and every one of us. And the way He does that is He works through you guys. He works through all of you and the people who are out there who obey what He asks. And we just want to praise Jesus for that because He is doing the mighty work in all of us. And, you know, to be able to receive a letter from a sponsorship is, you know, is so encouraging. And some of us are like, don't have family or, you know, we don't get letters from anybody, but we go through a day and we receive something in our mailbox. And it's like, you know, gives us all just joy in our hearts to know that there's people out there who love us and who care for us and who are praying for us and, you know, believe in the same thing that we believe, and that's Jesus Christ. And, you know, we just want to thank you guys, and we want to just praise Jesus for what He's doing in our lives, and we thank you for this opportunity. Thank you.
So we just told you a little bit about what we do at Teen Challenge. It's an amazing program. It's a program that works. I will tell you that I know that for a fact because I was a student at Teen Challenge 2011 through 2012. I went through the program just like they did. And so it works really well because it's kind of nice for them to have me there sometimes when they are going through something. I can say, guess what? I did it. You can do it. So it works out really well. I'm just like anybody else. I was sat in church all my life, and I got hooked on prescription pain pills, and I lost everything except for my children. I still had my kids, but I had lost everything, and I had gone out and started doctor shopping to get pain pills. And I got myself in trouble with the law, and I ended up going to Montana State Women's Prison for 3 years of my life. And I came out of prison and went straight to Teen Challenge. And God and Teen Challenge taught me how to live my life over again. And God is a God of restoration, and we are all about restoration and just building them up and letting them know who they are in Christ and how precious they are in God's eyes. They are precious to us. And it's crazy because there's lots of them, but we just love each other. It's just like a big old family in there. So it's an amazing, I am honored to get to be here. And God is just so wonderful that it doesn't matter where you are in life or what you're doing. You know, God will always use what you have done in your life, any pain that you've gone through, anything that you can share with somebody else. If you use it for His glory, He will open doors for you everywhere that you go to be able to just help other people. And that's one of the best things about Teen Challenge, I think, is just the opportunity. Because it's scary getting up here and telling people all the stuff in your life. But God says, you know, the words of our testimony, that we need to just tell people and what God has done in our lives to bring us closer to Him. So with that, if there is any questions that anybody would like to ask, some of the girls, Kim and Sasha, would you like to come up? If you guys have any questions about Teen Challenge, just want to ask them a little bit about their day, we would love to filter some questions if you'd like to field some questions, not filter.
Questions? Any questions? Sure, Grace.
Right. Do you have Oh.
I'm the best person to ask that. we have a television in our house, for so long we can watch DVDs and VHS movies Friday evenings, Saturdays, and Sunday after church, and then the rest of the time it's off unless you are on a grace period, which is 2 weeks. The 2 weeks that you come into the program, you have grace, so you can rest, watch TV, which is the movies. Just recently, they were allowing us to watch the PureFlix or some kind of Netflix, which is it's screened for certain movies and that sort of thing. This is my second time at Teen Challenge in a restoration period, so 11 months after 12 months. And I'm not a TV watcher or a movie watcher, so I thought it was kind of funny you asked that. But so if I do sit and watch a movie, it's people wonder what's wrong with me. But so we were allowed to do that just to relax. And then as far as computers, once you're in there's different phases of the program. Phase three is when you come in, then you go to 4A, 4B, and 4C, depending on how well you're doing with your classwork and also. Working on yourself, then you progress, you move on. And at 4C, you're able to have 3 days for 30 minutes at a time with supervision online to look for jobs and education and that sort of thing, getting you prepared to leave. So you want to add any more to that? Your favorite shows? Okay. No Facebook. Yes. I'm sorry? Oh.
Go ahead and ask something. We basically do every single thing together. Really the only time that we are separated is if half of us go to the thrift store and half of us stay home. But we literally are with each other from 6:30 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. That is something that is always going to be an issue. Our staff at the center as well as at the thrift store, that is something that we have a really big hold on. We can't really talk about any of us being in the program. There have been some students who can't have their pictures on certain things that go out for sponsorship and stuff like that. But our doors are always locked. Everybody has to have permission to come in and go out. We aren't even allowed to contact more than 6 people, and they go through a screening process of being able to send us letters or talk to us on the phone once a week. So there is a major process even for people who are totally healthy for us to go through to have any kind of contact with us. But that is something, that they're very aware of and take very major safety precautions just to keep us safe. So.
Right there. Okay. I can answer that one. Ideally, the student will have been able to prepare themselves. For example, going to a detox program. My drug of choice was alcohol. And so the first time I came in the program, I did go through, especially for my age, I'm concerned about the withdrawals and high blood pressure, that sort of thing. I detoxed and spent a good 2 weeks before I came in the program. That's ideally you like to have that. Some of the other women, the other drugs that it would be in their system, some of them come in, they'd like them to have gone through a process of abstinence, but some come in having used that maybe an hour before, just the way it worked out or the way we've lived our lives. It is what it is. You have it, you use it, and then. So, and those women we pray over, and Sasha has an amazing story about that, and some of them You know, a lot of prayer, a lot of sweating, a lot of chocolate, hot showers. I mean, this is the reality. But prayer. And some of the women have been delivered from like raging withdrawal symptoms just by the grace of God. Yeah, but yeah, ideally you'd like to come, you'd like to, in the perfect world, they'd come in clean and sober and they're ready to go. But that's what that 2 weeks of grace is, just learning how to eat and shower and get some rest when you get, and some of the women, it takes months to get a good night's sleep. But yeah, that was a good question. There was another question back there. And I'll say something if you want to say something. Again, I completed the program in 2015, and I was in Missoula, going back and forth from Hamilton to Missoula, working for 11 months. And there were still a lot of things that I hadn't worked on when I was there the first time, quite a bit. But I, at that time, I felt, oh, I'm ready, let's go. I've got it. I've got this. And I didn't. I had nothing. So when I came in this time, it's been completely different. A restoration period, so it's a little different than the rest of the program, women in the program now. It's 11 months. I am moving on to phase five, so it's, I can work in the community and volunteer at the center and also live there. So I have some accountability. And again, today I turned 53 years old, and I feel like, you know, and being the oldest woman there does not give me any clout or any more knowledge. In some ways, I have a lot of experience of doing good and bad. But so I told my counselor the other day. She says, "So how are you feeling?" Because I was talking to her about how exciting, how different, how new, and how are you feeling? And she says, "What just comes into your head?" And I go, "Scared." You know, I didn't want to say that. And she says, "Good. That is good, because before I've got this, I'm ready," and so there is some a little bit of a level of anxiety, but I mean I'm so trusting, I'm so ready to walk in this next phase. A lot of students have the support, amazing support of their families and friends, and I do too, whether I admit it or not, and I see it right now or not, but. And Sasha's completing as well next month, but you can ask her about that. But I'm just glad I have this next step, and it's a little baby step compared to some of the women who are just going back to their states and getting moving on. But there you go. Just want to say something
about you going home. For me, I am super scared. But in a good way. That's something, when I was in my addiction, I didn't feel anything other than just a lot of like pride and control, and I always just felt like I had everything under control, when I'm learning that I clearly was extremely out of control. So that's something we were just talking about in one of our classes, is I'm excited to go out into the world. I have a 4-year-old little girl who just needs her mom, but it's scary. I've always just been one of those people who, when stuff gets rough, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to leave and pretend that this never happened. And so I find myself getting closer to the end. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to leave. Because what if I finish this program and mess up? But God has just been carrying me through that. You know, he has grown me so much, and it doesn't mean that I'm going to do everything perfect. And I'm okay with that for the first time ever. So, he's doing a mighty work in all of us.
That's a good question. There's always staff that's overseeing the kitchen. Things have changed a little bit. We had to downsize on our staffing because of financially we couldn't afford to pay for all the staff that we need. And so, but there's always two people. There are already always, excuse me, always two students in the kitchen, and they're trying to do it 2 weeks as a assistant cook, and then you move up to 2 weeks as a head cook, and then you rotate that way. Then the person who was assistant cook is now a head cook, and a new person comes in. And that I'll just go. The first time I was in the program, I love to cook, and so I cooked. I was in there for 5 or 6 months, and I was as happy as can be cooking and hiding from my problems. That was one of the reasons why. Yeah, I didn't deal with anything. I just made everyone happy and cooked. So when I came back this time, I was not allowed to toast bread, and until last week, and it's been 11 months. So because they said this is going to be different for you, and it was. I mean, I was trying to sneak a recipe to somebody, and I just thought, no, I can't. I can't do that. I was told, work on yourself. So I'm blessed now to be in the kitchen under Letha, who has been in there for a while, and we come up with the menu for the week. We make sure we have all the ingredients that we need to go shopping, and we go with one of the staff members at Costco, and you know $600 or $700 and 2 cartfuls of food, and it's a process. It's a great experience, and I think so far I think we're doing well. It's fun being in the kitchen. It's great, and all the women are doing an excellent job. If they've never learned to cook, some of them can hardly boil water. They tell me, but they will learn. So yeah. Anyway, thank you for having us, you guys. Come see us at the gym if you have any more questions about sponsorship or the program, or just if any prayer requests, we can pray for you as well. So thank you.
Thank you guys so much for being here and being willing to get up front and share your story and being brave in that. We love to hear those stories of transformation. We're going through those same things. I mean, and they're not identical stories. I get that. But God's completing the work in us the same way he's completing the work in you. And so let's just close our time together with a word of prayer, and we will dismiss. So Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you so much for the blessing of testimonies, the blessing of transformation, the blessing of the gospel, that you burst into our lives with this good news, and it changes us. Not only the gals from Teen Challenge, but every one of us. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for the encouragement this morning. We thank you for the ministry of Teen Challenge. Lord, bless us as we leave from here. Help us to remember and be focused on your mighty work in us and in other people around us, and just this wonderful act of your grace that we see every day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.